Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, this is Dr. Marina.
Hi, Dr. Marina. It's Mike Russo's.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Good, good.
Okay.
Hello, guys. It's Elise Moen.
Good evening. How are you?
Hello, Elise.
It's Elias as well, too.
Who do Hi, this is Elias.
Should we mute it? I think I should mute it at least.
Yeah, I think this is Erin. If everyone who is not a board member could mute at this time, that would be great.
Okay, thank you.
So Elias, do we want to kind of take role from the board perspective and then get started?
Yeah, sure. Why don't we do that? Who's taking notes today? And are we recording as well too?
Yep, we are recording.
Okay. Why don't we call the meeting to order? It's 6:03 and we'll do the Pledge of Allegiance and then we'll do a roll call. Okay, so we can get started. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you all for joining the meeting today. This is our first foray into a very large online meeting, and so we're trying it for the first time, so we'll hopefully help us work through any of the technical challenges we might have. I do want to do a quick roll call of the board members.
Hello.
Yep, go ahead.
Oh, it's Anna Maria. I wasn't sure if you could hear me.
Oh, okay, Anna Maria.
Hello, Sandra Johnson's on.
Hey, Sandra. Who else?
Elise Moen is here.
Yeah. Erin Allard's here.
George Hansen-Drill.
I see Eva as well, too. Mm-hmm.
George Hansen-Drill, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, good.
Eva, and is Rodrigo on at this point?
I'm going to show him.
Okay.
I thought I saw his name.
Yeah, he's here.
Oh, yeah, I see his name, too. Okay, so he's on. I'm not hearing Rodrigo. I don't know if he's talking or not, if he stepped away from the computer. Okay.
I don't know if his microphone's working. I don't see.
Yeah, it looks like he's not joined on audio yet.
So Rodrigo, you'd have to, if you can hear us.
I think he just signed off. He'll probably come back.
Okay, he'll probably come back on. Okay, so we sent out the agenda. Hopefully folks have a copy of the agenda. It's online on RSC's webpage under board as well too. The first thing we'll do is just want to make a quick statement. I know we've all been going through a lot with the COVID-19 school closed down and remote learning. There's been a significant amount of work done by the school, the administration, the teachers, the parents, and everybody together. So we do want to express our appreciation as we work through this process. We've heard a lot of great praise about the process, about the school, and the great things that everybody is doing to get Odyssey up and running in a remote learning environment, and we've really been praised by a lot of folks with respect to how quickly the school has moved out and established the remote learning capacity. It looks like we're way ahead of a lot of other schools, so congratulations to everybody on that. I'll probably talk a little bit more about that later. I just want to let everybody know that there are challenges, but we are trying to serve everybody's needs, and we're working through it as well too.
This is Elise Moen, and I just want to make a quick comment to those of our community members who celebrate. I want to wish everybody happy Passover. It's the night of the first Seder, and I should have certainly known better. We apologize for scheduling the board meeting on the first night, on the first Seder, but we nonetheless want to wish everybody happy Passover.
Thank you, Elise. And happy upcoming Easter as well, too, for those who are coming up this weekend. We do want to approve the previous minutes by the board. We did take a look at those as well, too. George, did you want to handle the review and voting on the approval of those?
Yeah, sure. One second. All right, so I think the first set of minutes we have to approve is from February 19th, public meeting. Has everybody on the board had a chance to review them?
Yes.
Yes.
I believe so.
Yes.
Okay.
Hey, Tim, this is Rodrigo Torres. Can you hear me now?
Hey, yes. Rodrigo, we can hear you.
Good, all right.
For the February 19th minutes, do we have any corrections, omissions, anything? All right, hearing none, do I have a motion to approve the February 19th public minutes so they can be posted?
This is Anna Maria. I so move.
Okay.
This is Elise Mowen. I second.
All right. Elias, you want to say to all in favor?
I apologize. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposition? Yes, that passes unanimously. We can post to February 19th.
Yep. Minutes. All right. And Elias, real quick, I didn't hear anybody offer to take minutes for tonight. Is somebody doing that or?
I will do that. This is Elise Mowen.
I'll
keep tabs.
All right, next set of minutes is from February 27th, public meeting. If everybody had a chance to review, do we have any questions, omissions, corrections? All right, hearing none. Do I have a motion to approve the February 27th, 2020 public minutes to be posted?
This is Erin, I so move.
A second.
This is Eva. I second.
All right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah. Any opposed? Okay, that passes also. We have one more set of minutes.
Yep, from March 31st, 2020. It's executive session minutes.
That was the 30th, not the 31st.
30th. It was the 30th. You're right. All right. So if I think the title, it says 31st, but in the document it says 30th, but we'll correct the title of the document.
I think the document says 31 too. We just need to adjust the date on that.
Okay. Besides that, any other corrections or omissions for the March 30th executive session? All right, hearing none, do we have a motion to approve these minutes as, what's the term, as amended? Corrected. Do we have a motion? I think it was Anna Maria and then Eva?
Yes.
All right, so Anna Maria first, Eva second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Okay, motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
All right, and I think that's it for the minutes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Acknowledgement of students, staff, achievements. And so no, we don't have anything tonight. I just want to point out to folks that we do have another regularly scheduled board meeting next Wednesday, which is our normal meeting for April. And so anything that we don't cover or can't get to this evening, and some of the updates might be rolled into that, we will be reviewing those things at next week's meeting as well. It's an opportunity to bring things forward that we can't, we don't have a chance to review. We don't have any student achievements this evening. So I guess the next issue is public comments. Erin, are you tracking the folks that signed up for public comments right now?
Yes. So we had 1, 2, 3. I guess we'll just go in the order in which people reached out. So you should be able to unmute yourselves, but Kaya Samrusakis, I think you're first.
Timing as well. 3 minutes per individual.
I have to get a timer set up. Hold on. Okay, we're good. So Kaya, can you unmute yourself? All right, I'm gonna unmute Kaya. I think I have her number. Kaya, can you hear us?
Can you hear me, guys?
Yes.
It's Kaya Samrusakis. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to first and foremost thank the board for all the communications on Facebook. It's been nice hearing from the board and kind of getting updates and interacting with the board and the parents on Facebook. So I just wanted to thank you guys first and foremost for that. I'd like to thank all the teachers for doing such a wonderful job. Specifically, I'd like to point out Mr. Smith, my daughter's math teacher. Has been reaching out through video conferencing with the kids. The kids have had a great time getting on there, just talking and interacting. Just seeing each other has been a big improvement, because sometimes when you don't have, you know, when you don't talk to someone normally, but you see them at school, you kind of miss that. And my daughter has really enjoyed that. So I wanted to send a special thanks to him, but to all teachers for everything that they have done for us. Just want to give everyone some updates on the PTO and some things that are going on and some things that we have eliminated for the year. So far, as of yesterday, we have raised $2,495 for paving the way. We'd like to thank everybody that has donated. Any amount that you donate is greatly appreciated. The donations from the paving the way are going to go towards buying Chromebooks for K-8. Desktop computers for some of the Greek classes, and furniture for our high school. And I believe the furniture from high school is going to go into the lobby area or wherever the children designate as the best area for the furniture to go. So that money will all be contributed towards that over the summer and into the beginning of the school next year. So any donations you guys can make, we are greatly appreciated. We can do them online at the PTO website. You just go in and hit the donation button, and it sends it directly to the PTO account. We're doing Joe Corby's online. We are initially going to do them with papers handing out to the students, but now we're going to do it online. We've been sending out the link every 2 to 3 days and then through the newsletters, just telling everybody to place the orders. There was an initial discrepancy on there. Initially, we were ending the orders in April. We have extended the orders to be taken through May 22nd. The orders will be delivered sometime over the summer. We're looking at June or July, and we will set up a pickup date either with the school if we're able to, and if not, we will set up
a pickup date. 30 seconds.
Okay, I'm sorry. Book fair online. Go ahead and place your orders online. We are doing a virtual, online book fair. If we do go back to school by the end of the year, we will do our regular book fair in school as well. Spirit Whale spare sales, real quick. Everyone that's placed orders, we will not be able to fill the orders until we go back to school. So just please be patient with us during that time. We will get them filled. We will get them out to you, but we do not have access to the school at this time.
Thanks, Kaya.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have Michael Russo.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
My audio good?
You're good. I'm going to start your time.
Okay. Thank you. This is Michael Russos. I'm speaking tonight as a parent to the community. I just want to, first of all, thank everyone that has really stood up during these difficult times. I am proud to be part of the school, and I'm very impressed with the almost fully reconstituted board. I see a lot of transparency that I didn't realize was lacking until a crisis like this. This allows people, individuals, to shine. I want to thank all the teachers, because I have to say that with all the ones that I've, all the people I've had to interact with regarding the homeschooling, because now I'm a homeschooler person, all my expectations have been exceeded. Everyone, all my son's teachers have exceeded my expectations. And that makes a statement about what our school is all about and the level of performance that we have, that we may not have known we had until a crisis like this, you know, really enables people an opportunity to shine. Going forward, I would strongly urge the board to consider making sure that new initiatives are in alignment with the mission statement. Now that I've had time to sit and think, and I'm sure many other people have had to fill their empty space with thoughts, I realize that in the past, prior to the reconstituted board, we may have taken a small path where we became out of alignment or were moving away from the focus of the mission statement of the school. And I would encourage all the new board members just to review what the mission statement is, which involves excellent education by embedding and through the process of modern Greek language and the mathematics focus. And I think an unspoken part of that needs to consider that in order to fully understand the Greek language, it may require us to embrace some cultural aspects of the Greek culture to better understand the whole process of the thinking. We need to create critical thinkers, problem solvers.
30 seconds, FYI.
Thank you. And we want them to be flexible and adaptable, as the people that I know in Greece are. So I would encourage all board members to, you know, continue and embrace that path. And when making future decisions regarding strategic planning, operations, administration, and of course, education, I think the one question that should always be asked is this action in alignment with the mission statement? I think all major initiatives.
Thank you, Michael.
You're welcome. Thank you for your time.
Next, we have Marianne Yarum.
Hi, this is Marianne Yarum. I just wanted to say what a privilege it is to be a part of this community and how much we've adapted. Not that we are without any issues. There are issues, but I feel that we're all making a lot of really good attempt to meet those. And I just wanted to take a minute to also talk about the ACE students for third and fourth grade. They're still continuing with their library remodeling project. And, you know, we've ordered one major piece of furniture so far, which will be delivered in September. But we're looking towards getting more stuff in, more things in. And so if anyone's out there who's good into carpentry, please do get in touch with me. These kids are still thinking about this project. They're still, coming up with good questions. Like when I first spoke to them, told them that they were all asking for a beanbag. And so when I told them we ordered this huge beanbag, they were all like, well, how are we going to make sure that the students don't fight over it and things like that? But it just shows that they are anticipating possible scenarios, and they're also looking to how to solve them, which is really, which I find very impressive and forward thinking of them. And I just think that, you know, as the community, we're all doing the best we can. And that's it.
Thanks, Marianne. This is Erin. I am going to read a brief statement that Tina Iliadi sent to me. Let me just pull it up. Okay. So this is on behalf of the Greek language immersion team. So the statement reads, Good evening. Our most sincere apologies that we were not able to connect to the meeting this evening, but we just wanted to make a brief statement on behalf of the Greek language immersion team. We would like to thank our parents and families for their dedication, participation, cooperation, and flexibility as we navigate our new learning environment. Learning a second language is sometimes challenging, even in the most ideal environment, and we just wanted to express our gratitude for the immense effort on behalf of our parents to continue foreign language acquisition from home. We would also like to thank our administrators for their continued support and flexibility, our teacher coaches who continue to provide us with valuable feedback and resources, and our grade level teams for their support and collaboration. We extend our very best wishes and look forward to returning to our classrooms soon. That is the conclusion of the requests that I received for public comment.
Okay, thank you, Erin. I appreciate taking care of that. Next up on our agenda is the monthly financial review. Karen?
Yes.
You're on.
If you like, I can probably share my screen and put up the PowerPoint presentation that we usually do. We can try it. What we're looking at is February's report. Hold on, let me share the screen first. Not working. No, it looks like it's not allowing me to do that. Okay. What we have to talk about is February's report. March's reports just came out, and I'm working on them, and we'll have more updated numbers next week. So as of the time that we did this February report, the shutdown had not occurred yet. It was just in the talking phase. We have continued to look at the projection, and I'll address any changes to this. As of February 29th, we were 8 months or 66% of the year expired, and revenues collected to date were just over 31 million, which is 96.25% of the final budget. The monies that came in during February were the final transfer from the state for 156,000, some other minor state funds of 10,000, local interest and miscellaneous funds of 21,644. Aftercare collected 40,000. Cafeteria collected just under 132,000. There was a payment of rent received from academia and student body activities of just over $6,700. And the monthly transportation transfer from Red Clay of almost 44,000. So the typical things that we would have expected in February. The expenses are at the end of February are at 68.87%, which is 20,290,000, and encumbrances of just over 54,000. The expenses continued to trend as they have been. You know, we're on the downside of the school and the fiscal year, and no surprises at this point in time. We did the projection as of the end of February. We were looking for the ending cash to be 3,070,000, which is about 62,000 above the final budget that the board approved in February at the February meeting. But since then, we have continued to update the projection because of the shutdown. Obviously, there's some changes in revenue. There's some changes in expenses. And we're at about $100,000 more than we were projecting at the end of February. So we're basically at $3,175,000 right now and continuing to work on the numbers. But as I said, at your next meeting, next Wednesday, I'll have a further update on where we feel the cash position is going to end at the close of this fiscal year. So the monthly web report reflects the items that I just went over, that the revenues are at 96.25%. The expenses are at 68.87%. This has already been posted on the school website because it was required to be posted by the end of March. So it is available to the public at this time. It shows the ending cash balance as of February at $10,570,000. So that is February's report. I don't know if the board has access to that web report, if you want to wait till next week to approve it.
Thanks for the update. I think if we can get the hard copy of that to review it, we can approve it for posting next week, I think, once we have
it. Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
So next is a head of school report. I think we're going to defer that until next week, I believe. Is that correct? Okay, the next thing is the next item up on the agenda is the Greek program report. Are you giving a brief?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yep. Okay. So, because of the coronavirus crisis and what is currently happening worldwide, the exchange programs had to be postponed. So the exchange program with Pierce College in particular has been postponed, and parents were notified of this change at the end of March. The new dates are going to be discussed at the end of the school year after taking into consideration, of course, the new developments concerning the spread of the virus and what the decisions will be. Regarding the high school summer program in Nafplio in Greece, this is not cancelled, but it is going to take place online. So we were notified of this change last week. The participant student will not be required to travel to Greece, but he or she is going to participate in the program virtually by joining the Canvas learning management system. The application process will remain open until April 30, and the program will be offered online between July 2nd and July 17th, 2020. Elinomathi exams have also been postponed. The Center for the Greek Language announced the worldwide postponement of the May 2020 Elinomathi exams. The new dates have not been announced yet. So we are going for the new dates because this will affect also our program in September and October. The kangaroo competition, the math competition, has been postponed as well by the kangaroo organization, and the new date is going to be announced very soon. So the last thing that I would like to say is that it's a positive comment after all these postponements and changes. What I have found out after spending hours talking with teachers, I have found out that this teleschooling, the remote education, has given Greek teachers the opportunity to create a huge amount of online materials which are designed exclusively by the teachers themselves, targeting the needs of their students at OCS. And what I was thinking is to have all those materials uploaded on the G Drive of the school for future use as well, so that teachers can make them available to students who need further support with the Greek language and extra help during the school year, because these can be accessed by students at home and they can be used by them at their own pace. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Marina. I did want to circle. Go ahead. Who's commenting?
Hi, Elias. It's Stephanie Beckel.
Thank you.
Let me.
I was going to circle back to you because I did get the message that you were going to talk a little bit about the calendar, and Ashley was going to talk a little bit about level three as well too. So I did want to.
No problem. Whenever you're ready, just let me.
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. I guess so. You're going to talk about the calendar, I guess, today.
Yeah, I'm just going to give a quick rundown for the 2021 school year calendar. This year, we put together a committee composed of six individuals, so three from the academic slash operations side, which included myself, Evan Winokur, and Marina Matthew-Dykes. The three of us met and took some of what worked for us in the past, along with a bunch of different districts and their calendars that they proposed for the next school year, and kind of made a draft outline. And then we met all together with three union representatives, Katie Manley, Matthew Lauderman, and Demetra Zanudis. So the six of us sat down, we ran through a school year and the proposals from the staff, what they had recommended from all divisions, as well as what we saw other schools doing and what works best academically for our students and families. So we met two times. The first time we gave some tentative dates. The second time we met, we finalized and then proposed that information to Denise, who I believe passed it on to, or will pass it on to, the board. So we took a combination of everybody, composed it all together, and that's what we produced for the proposal for the 2021 school year calendar.
Any, did you want to comment on any highlights in terms of vacation weeks and stuff? I know folks are typically...
Sure. So this year we talked extensively. One of the big sticking points was the winter break. So we did propose the 2-week winter break, which we've previously done in the past, that will help with some, you know, a lot of our Greek staff travel home during that time. So it provides them the opportunity to do so, along with the American staff as well. That was one of the big proposals. And the other big proposal was implementing a day off for Greek Easter. That was a change as well. We've never had that in our calendar. So we felt that it was important to recognize that special holiday for our school and our staff as well. So we implemented an in-service, like, trade-off day on that Friday before the Greek Easter, which is about a month apart next year, I think, and then off on that Monday following for Easter, for the Greek Easter. So those were the two big highlights, along with the regular Thanksgiving and spring break and such.
Thanks, Stephanie.
Thanks.
Ashley, were you going to talk a little bit about the level three?
Sure, I can do so briefly. Thank you. And as Elias said before, we have gotten a lot of positive feedback around our transition to the level three learning. Odyssey transitioned, as you also said, a lot quicker than a lot of other schools, in large part to our staff's willingness to jump in and all the hard work of our staff and students that have been all come together. So we transitioned to our level two programming on the week of 3/23, and then have fully transitioned over to level three learning or remote learning in this past 2 weeks. So starting on 3/30, we are continuing to hold all of our normal meetings and things like that, and our students are mostly receiving content in an asynchronous way. We had a few hiccups with technology, as was the case across the state, but we are working through all those issues, and we are thankful for all of our staff and students' hard work as we've continued.
Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Ashley from the board? Okay. All right. Thank you, Ashley. Next up on the agenda is Campus Operations Officer Report, Ricardo.
Good evening, everybody. A few quick updates. Leveraging the comments about level three learning, IT has worked very closely in seeking to very quickly identify the needs as the level two and level three were ramping up, of families that didn't have Chromebooks We distributed about 120 Chromebooks of our inventory of 400 Chromebooks. And now we are planning to move to address some requests that we have had from families that have three or more Odyssey students, and therefore having three or four kids sharing one computer has been somewhat burdensome. And so our next effort is to address these families. The intent is to provide them with a second computer. And we've identified all the families, and we expect to complete that in the next 5 to 7 days. And we're finalizing the definition of whether we're going to have families come and pick up the computer, or we're going to leverage the transportation staff to go distribute these machines at the homes of the families. Once we do that, we will then continue addressing other needs for replacements or, you know, second computers, etc., until we run out of the total 400 Chromebooks that that we have in inventory. We are also looking to potentially purchase additional Chromebooks with the with an allocation of the CARES funding, but that's for now just an idea that we're teeing up should it be needed. We have, you know, as of this week, we've got staff in operations. Custodial staff has been working hard over these weeks. They finished the initial cleaning of all four buildings and are starting to work on other related projects. We have facilities types projects that are continuing to occur. We're working on boiler replacement in Building 20 and lobby safety and security improvements in Building 20 also through the state grant. With the staff being available to work, especially focusing on the transportation, Red Clay will continue to pay us, we believe, about 90% of their contract. Karen mentioned the $44,000, so we're expecting something like $38,000 in the coming months as we certify to them that we have the drivers working. And that's it for me.
And thank you, Ricardo. Does anybody have any questions for Ricardo on any aspects of the facilities? I know there's been a lot of work done in rolling out, and there have been some challenges and stuff, but thank you all for working through that and helping to get at least a computing environment and all those things to the folks, the staff, cleaning crews, the transportation department, the food services. They've been doing a tremendous job in trying to keep things afloat as well too inside the school and the infrastructure. So thank you for doing all
that. And the IT department, many thanks.
And for sure, and the IT department as well too. Tremendous job in trying to get things moving and trying to get things in place in a completely new environment that was untested before. And so great job to everybody, teachers, staff, administration, and getting things really working and moving as we're learning through this process. Thank you all again. Thank you, Ricardo. Thank you, staff members. A faculty report from the board member. Eva, do you have any reports?
Yeah, I have a few notes here. Good evening, everybody. I hope, first of all, that all of our families are safe and healthy. For sure, these are difficult and uncertain times for all of us. It's safe to say that none of us have lived through something like this before, but we are all doing our best to navigate these uncharted waters. To that end, the OCS teachers quickly rose to the challenge and worked hard to develop highly quality virtual lessons for all of our students. The first week, let's be honest, was tough for all of us, students, teachers, parents, but everybody worked above and beyond the 3-day expectation. And I want to thank all the parents for their support and their patience throughout this. Remote teaching presents some problems, of course. We all experience them. Network issues, difficulty of the assignments, length of the assignments, and the worst of all, reply all emails. That's the worst. But it also has some advantages that we discovered along the way. And that is that our students can work at their own pace. So they can play the video back and forth. They can stop wherever they don't understand something, listen to the directions again. So we have discovered new ways of teaching through this. Our goal is to keep our students engaged and to promote them, provide for them a sense of stability, while at the same time we're moving forward with our curriculum. It has been said that difficult times have the ability to bring out both the best and the worst in us. And I'm grateful to say that I have only seen the absolute best in our OCS community. We teachers, we were getting along before, but now we have gotten to bond with each other at a different level. We have become each other's IT support, and I, for one, need a lot of IT support. Each other's PD, each other's counselors. And I'm certain that we will come out of this stronger and with deeper relationships than before. As great of a challenge as this has been, the positive responses from the parents have been so encouraging, inspiring, and heartwarming. I would like the parents to really believe me when I say that the number one thing we miss is our students. All teachers will tell you the same thing. The highlight of my week was when this one friend of mine student sent me an email the day after I sent an art project with about 3,000 exclamation marks and the following. Kiria Giannelli, I need me some art, !! Please send me a project now. I still am smiling every time I think of his email. So thank you so much, and please don't hesitate to reach out at any time. We will get through this together. I would also like to read a quick update that Kiriakula Miha sent me. She is the head of the high school Greek program, and she very nicely has written, adversity has been met with creativity, dedication, and focus, and the results so far have been extremely promising. It is challenging enough to maintain and steadily increase student proficiency in foreign language learning with direct instruction. And it is to the credit of our high school Greek language and Greek studies teachers, and I will add here all the teachers, that they are so ably maintaining such a high standard of quality. The teachers have been investing a great deal of time and energy to develop and deliver innovative content that is able to bridge the physical divide and provide the students with diverse and interesting assignments and activities. That's all from me.
Thank you, Eva. Appreciate it. Any questions for Eva? Okay, thank you. PTO report from a board rep. Do we have anything? I know Kaya talked a little bit about the PTO and her public comments, but do we have any comments from the board rep on PTO?
No comments this time, Elias. We'll wait till next week.
Thank you. Okay. We had compliance committee on the agenda. There's no updates right now on the compliance committee. We're still working to finalize and get things moving for the last elements of the probation conditions that we're under. At the end of June. And so once we have some updates on that, we'll provide that to everybody.
Elias, do you want to talk a few minutes about the final report that we just received yesterday on a second review?
Are you referring to the report from the CSAC?
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead and talk about that? I don't have it in front of me, but we had sent out a statement a week ago with respect to the current review that Odyssey was under that went back to look at 1A and 1B in the current probationary conditions, which was which revolved around a HIPAA majority as well as a non-HIPAA nominating committee. And so the CSAC desired to re-review those 2 points, which were supposed to be completed at the end of last calendar year. And so after a few meetings with the CSAC and information we provided to them, Chuck Longfellow, who was the chair of the CSAC, entertained a motion to not not put any further actions on Odyssey regarding these 2 questions regarding points 1A and point 1B and the probationary conditions. And so it was unanimously approved by the CSAC. And so they're going to recommend that to Secretary Bunting, who they hope is going to recommend at the State Board of Education at the end of this month, stating that they want to close out any actions related to the current review the ISC came under early this year. And so it's good news for the school. We're moving forward. That seems to have cleared that hurdle, and we're all set with that. We're just back to now looking at and finalizing the remaining conditions that sit on the probationary conditions, and we're working those diligently and hope to have resolution on those very soon so that we can close out all the actions that the State Board of Education has put before the school. So we have we're hopeful, and we feel that we're going to get there very soon, and we'll have all that information as soon as we have some definitive feedback from the folks. Any other comments on that? Elise or Aaron, you're both in the meeting as well, too.
No, I think you covered it, Elias. I thought it was a good meeting. It was all fairly clear.
Okay. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is the non-HEPA nominating committee. Right now, we're in the process of looking to fill one remaining non-HEPA nominating committee position, which is the teacher rep. We had interviews and everything set up for that before the stay-at-home orders came out by the governor, and so we postponed that, and we're in the process now of actually sending out requests for interviews for next week to the teachers to do those virtually. And so we hope to have that process completed by the middle of next week. So stay tuned to that. Hopefully next board meeting we'll have some data or information on that. We haven't actually reached out to all the candidates yet to schedule the interviews, but we're looking at doing that now. And hopefully we'll have that non-HEPA nominating committee position filled very soon. If not this month, then most certainly by the next board meeting that follows. Okay, any other comments on that from the non-HEPA nominating committee members? Okay. Next thing, moving on to new business. I don't believe there's any, no travel period. The next item is out-of-state travel. I don't think we can travel even in-state these days. So I haven't seen anything that's coming forward on that right now. Ashley, do you have anything looking at out-of-state travel at all?
No. The Switzerland and Germany EF tour is rescheduled at this time for July 27th through August 5th. That would be the only thing.
Okay. Thank you. That's already been approved, though.
Yeah. Just new dates.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions for Ashley? Next item on the agenda is election of officers. So at the previous meeting, we had election of president and vice president of the board. The only remaining vacant position right now is secretary. So we do want to open up the floor to the board members for nominations for the secretary role. Had a conversation and discussion about that and vote. So does anybody have any nominations or potential nominations for someone to serve as secretary for the board of directors?
George here. Oh, I'm sorry. Who was that, Aaron?
Yeah, go ahead, George.
No, you go ahead, Aaron.
Okay. Yeah, this is Aaron. I move to nominate Elise Moen as secretary.
I'll second it, if Elise accepts.
I accept the nomination.
Okay. So I guess, are there any other nominations? So we have a nomination and a second for Elise to serve as secretary. I just wanted to open it up before we move forward. Are there any nominations or any other candidates that somebody wishes to nominate for a secretary at this point in time? Okay. Barring that, is there any conversation on or comment on Elisa's nomination for secretary of the board of directors? You know, I've been working with Elise personally, and she's been a tremendous asset to the board and helped to support all the actions and activities. I look forward to having you on the board, and I'm glad that you've been nominated and accepted. So barring, unless anybody has any further comments, call for a vote. So I'll call for a vote nominating Elise Moen to serve as secretary for the Odyssey Charter School Board of Directors. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? All right, so we will, that will be unanimous. Congratulations, Elise. You're now formally and officially the secretary of the board of directors. Understanding that your term ends at the end of June, and we will have to re-vote those positions as well. So every June, we have a turnover in all the officers. Next item, we did have remote learning. I think Ashley had generally discussed that as part of level three. Did you have any other comments regarding remote learning, Ashley? Did you cover all that in your level three discussion?
Yeah, not at this time, unless anyone has questions.
Any questions on remote learning? You know, Eva mentioned it as well too in her teacher comments. Thank you for that. Okay. Next item is discussion of future facility improvements. Ricardo had sent a brief out earlier. This is a discussion regarding building 23 renovations and the large gym options as to how we can move forward with those projects. Ricardo had sent a brief out on that to everybody. I resent it to everybody just a few minutes ago. If you hadn't gotten it earlier, so Ricardo, is that the briefing we're going to be going through?
Yes, six slides that have been teed up. So what I would like to do is, if we focus on the second slide, the first content slide, there's different in this time of upheaval. You know, there's a few buckets that I want to revisit and just reaffirm us getting our arms around them. So that we can then hopefully thread them together and get the support of the board in defining specifically next steps. You know, the threads are that are issues and challenges to start off with is that, unlike in the past, we have lost historical economic stability to inform our financial decisions and projections. I mean, Karen is probably flying a little more blind this year than in past years in trying to put a budget together. The timing of our decision-making process with regards to the investment of funds in these facilities expansion projects doesn't necessarily jive with the information required to make decisions through the budget on behalf of the school and school programming, and trying to bring them together in a way that minimizes the exposure of potentially significantly affecting school programming is a critical success element that we have to wrestle with. Also, if we look at these two projects at a total initial estimated or current estimated cost of somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million as a set of projects to be done in a short window of time, 12 months, 13 months, 18 months. It's a significant amount of money to be invested. And of course, the lion's share of that, 3.7, is a current estimate of a full gym budget of about 3.3. And so when we think of it, I would like us to put a peg there and, you know, the 3.3 and keep that as a medium to long-term financial marker for when we have the conversation. We want to mitigate these risks by, as mentioned here, chunk the gym project and do it in two phases. The first phase has to do with getting the erection of getting to the point where we've erected the building, and that will, as previously discussed, hopefully enhance our collective ability in fundraising to complete the project in and of itself. This number, the shorter term investment for phase one, is estimated to come in at about 1.2 to 1.3 million at this point in time. Now that all is in addition to the short-term marker of 400,000 for 420 for building 23, that gives us the 1.7 that is mentioned there. In light of all the uncertainty at this point in time, our preferred strategy would be to, you know, complete phase two of the high school building in the summer, and then work into the winter of 2021 for the completion of the large gym. That's a preferred strategy. It provides us some conservatism. It allows us to get to, you know, to better numbers from the state, and also in terms of the process of the budgets for these two projects. To help us with the budgeting process of these two projects, we would like to hire a construction manager. And why a construction manager instead of a general contractor? One of the driving reasons is that we still have some pre-construction work, and general contractors usually do not get involved in the planning and the pre-construction work that needs to be done around HVAC. We would like to do that sooner rather than later, so that when we go to the county and with updated plans and all of that, we do have a complete plan that would be, let's say, reapproved or get a nod off from them. And for that, we're already in touch with Comme Diascanis to see how quickly we could kick that into gear should we decide to accelerate projects. The second benefit of having a construction manager is that we can transfer some of the project risk to the to them through a guaranteed maximum price contract, so that they absorb some of the risk that we have historically absorbed. As change orders would be created as a result of issues that the contractor would have. We would still be paying for change orders that we would be generating and requesting versus the designs that are, presented. Finally, having a construction manager will also continue to strengthen our construction project management processes as recommended by our auditors in the findings of our school year 2019 audit. And so we would like to move ahead with the recruiting of a construction manager. We have a process in place, and we believe that we can accomplish this process by mid-May hopefully at the latest, because our expectation is that business has slowed as a result of the COVID-19 crisis. To further enhance the success of our project, Tiffany Brownie has offered to and volunteered to act as our owner's rep, working with the construction manager on a pro bono basis, which will also free up time of our facilities team, and especially our facilities manager that in the past was also playing the role of the owner's rep. Moving on to the next slide, and starting to look at if we wanted to anticipate the proposed timeline for winter February 2021 on the large gym. We've been asked to identify some costs that could be spent earlier, which means bringing them into 2020. And here we have one of the pressure points, because in the numbers and in the cash balances that Karen has mentioned, we do not have currently the leeway for these expenditures to flow through the operating budget. But we've identified $500,000 that could help us accelerate the project, the large gym. On this, the next slide, you'll see a timeline. And basically what the timeline tells us is that we could gain 4 months and complete the erection of the shell, of the structure of the gym, and by sometime in October. Now, why can we do this? We have the flexibility that, why could we do this without necessarily needing to have a construction manager on board? It's that we have validated some of the cost and revalidated the original proposals, as previously mentioned, for the for the steel, which is really the long lead time item. We confirmed today with the vendor, their raw materials continue to cost what they were at prior to the COVID-19 crisis. And they reconfirmed 16 weeks, which is approximately 4 months lead time, which is what we have here. Should we choose to pursue this strategy instead of what the committee is recommended? We also would recommend at this point in time that the board seriously consider, as it's looking into the budget for next year, not to think of getting a significant portion, if not significant portion of its funding for the large gym from operations. Last year we funded 100% of the retrofit of building 23. Given where we are with our cash balances this year and all the uncertainties that we have in the budgeting process for school year 2021, we would like to recommend that be a fallback alternative once we have our arms around the school year 2021 budget. And of course, all the funding that we would be getting from the state starting in July. Moving to the next slide, this is just a reminder. As Karen says, we're projecting $3.2 million ending cash. Of course, within that ending cash, we're carrying funding to cover summer pay for our salaried and our hourly staff. And of course, at this late stage of the year, it does not carry any available funds in significant amounts for any new projects. So the idea of bringing forward $300,000 to $500,000 of expenses to anticipate the project and covering it through operations. We believe that the primary source has to be a non-operating funds. Moving to slide six, here we have some good news that as discussed with the investors, and as some of you may know, and maybe all of you, in our latest conversation with the investors, they indicated that they were seriously considering of releasing the $400,000 reserve once we come out of formal review. So that is a first tranche of funds. We currently, in the $3.2 million, have $148,000 of capital campaign funds that have been, we're carrying it over from the past years. And these were earmarked for the large gym. So You know, there we have a pot of $550,000, you know, technically to start rolling the ball. Now, when we talk about the 1.67 target to spend in the next 15 months, you know, having these $550,000 is about a little under a third of what we need. We can also discuss with the investors the potential release of funds from the maintenance budget. As you know, it's $600,000, it's fully constituted. And and this would be used to reimburse the school for capital expenditures that are not, you know, needed to maintain the current operations of the plant, not dedicated to expansion, but that would put money back into the budget and give us the flexibility to consider whether we want to keep it to increase our reserves so that we can meet our bond covenants, or use that those funds or part of those funds, you know, to create the trove of funds to advance these two projects. So if we look at this, we've got the potential of up to $850,000 between you know, available funds and funds that could be made available from the investors, which puts us at the 50% mark in terms of you know, in terms of the funding required to achieve this first phase. So with that said, you know, we find ourselves in an exceptional environment, and I'm on the last slide. We do need to make sure that we balance the funding decisions for the facilities investments with the potential, you know, with the future needs of supporting the school's programmatic endeavors. I would regret to see that, you know, we push hard on the facility side and find ourselves somewhat short and having to, you know, to make some challenging programmatic decisions. And that's the balancing act that we find ourselves now with ever-changing informations, a great level of uncertainty. So with, you know, with this in mind, one thing that we do need to do, and I would strongly recommend, is that we try to accelerate our discussions with the investors. We have a call scheduled for later this month, immediately after the secretary makes her recommendation on the formal review. So we could have, by the end of the month, have had the conversation on the release of 400,000 and consideration or the possibility of also releasing some funds from the, you know, from the maintenance fund. But thereafter, for the work to be done later, you know, we have to make the decisions of how much we need to fundraise, how much we, you know, we need to, you know, pass through the school budget. Finally, I forgot to mention that the investors did hang out there a carrot offered to make more funding available to us. Now we don't know yet if this is a loan or if it's a bond, you know, another small bond placement, all to be discussed. If it's a loan, it probably will occur on a shorter timeline. If it's a bond, if it's a second bond placement, it will take a lot longer to obtain those funds. So these are all the moving parts that I wanted to tee up for your consideration with regards to us moving ahead with these projects. And I leave you with the recommendation and the desire to start the process to hire a construction manager for the reasons that have been mentioned. Engage the you know, the investors with, you know, and engage the investors with regards to the to obtaining and freeing up funds to launch the project, and finally that we take a more conservative approach in the launch of these, you know, in the launch of the large gym, to give us the lungs to address the needs of the school budgets. And I can address any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ricardo. Does anybody on the board have any general questions for Ricardo on what he briefed regarding the construction projects? Go ahead.
This is Rodrigo. Just trying to understand what happens, Ricardo, if so it seems like what's guaranteed right now is 148,000. That's what we have right now. Even the 400 that you're discussing is still pending.
All right.
What happens if we go ahead with your recommendation and that's not available? We find out that won't be available.
The big funds are in our recommendation. The big funds would only start to be spent come July. And that's sort of at the 8-month timeline that would get us to to February. So the exposure that we would have in my recommendation, if we is $400,000. The likelihood based on the inputs that we got from the investors, we've been pursuing these $400,000 for the past 2 years, and we have been getting some resounding no's. So I'm very optimistic that $400,000 is very likely to be released in the near future. That would take care of the 148 would not be available for the large gym, but the 400,000 would take, would basically take care of the building 23 final retrofit of the central core on the second floor.
Okay, thanks, Ricardo. So I guess based on your conversation, are you looking right now to get approval to hire, from what I can understand, a construction manager?
Yes, because our goal is to issue an RFP to the companies that are in the appendix, some 14 companies, with the intent of getting 4 or 5 potential responses. Be able to make a decision to bring them on board by mid to late May. Now, of course, bringing them on board does not mean that we would start spending any money at this point in time. We're going to converge as we collect more information from the state's budgeting process, and as we tighten our budgeting process. We expect Karen and I spoke, and we expect to have a vetted first draft of a budget for next year by the end of this month, so that we can see, have a first pass at see what flexibilities we have in terms of, using some operating funds to support these initiatives. Although that is, as we said, our fallback strategy, versus a preferred strategy.
Okay.
Just to eliminate confusion in my mind, being hearing the word hire construction manager, but I see a list of companies. I'm thinking these are vendors that we're going to have a contract with. It's not an employee that we're looking to hire, is it? Can you clarify that, Ricardo?
Yes, that is correct. Now the construction, these companies would appoint this project to a point person that would be the key interface and would be overseeing the team on the ground that will be managing the project, will be then subcontracting the trades. And this would be the point person that Tiffany, as our pro bono owner's rep, would be interfacing with, supported by John Stewart.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Ricardo. So I guess I do want to entertain a motion. Does someone want to put a motion forward to hire, to authorize Ricardo to hire a construction manager?
Can I ask one more question, Leah? Sure.
Absolutely.
What kind of salary are we looking to pay this person?
No, we, Eva, we don't pay a salary to this person. Construction management companies usually work for a percentage fee on the project. They, you know, then they, well, let me do this.
How much would it cost?
Tiffany, I'll let, Tiffany, can I let you jump in a minute?
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, this is Tiffany Brownie. I'm happy to jump in. So I would like to clarify that when we put the RFP out for the construction manager to come on board as a partner for us on this project, we would be starting with a pre-construction contract, which is fairly low risk. It would be kind of giving us a means to get going and get moving. And that contract would consist of their fees for their team that would be working on the project. And that's like, you know, I think, I don't remember exactly what was in the estimate. I believe it was around $13,000. And then as we work towards developing the drawings and plans, to build the building, then we would have a much better idea of what the cost of the actual construction cost of the project was. Right now we have a pretty good estimate, but we don't have actual costs. And then there would be a fixed fee. So the type of contract we would hold with this contractor is a guaranteed maximum price contract where they have a fixed, it's the fixed fee for their work plus the cost of the work. So usually their fee is about 3.5% of the overall cost of the project. So there's not necessarily a salary. It's just an agreed upon fee when we negotiate the contract with them. I hope that helps clarify.
Oh, yes, it does. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tiffany.
Hey, Ricardo, George here. And,
yes.
So is the plan for you and your committee to make a selection for construction manager and hire them, and then come our next board meeting and say, this is who we hired? Or are you going to come back with a list of three construction managers and ask the board to make the decision with your recommendation?
Plan B there. We will bring, the top ones and present our recommendation. And of course, the intent here is to, unlike our past experiences, George, give you the lead time so that you can review the three, let's say the three companies and who we're recommending.
I mean, I understand that, but I'm all for timing and getting this process moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I trust you and your committee. You know, this is just me speaking, not the board, but I would be fine, you know, if you and your committee made the decision. And obviously let some people on the board know, the executive mm-hmm. committee maybe. That way we can get this process moving. So we're not waiting until May 20th.
And George, that would be very meaningful if we resolve the financial equation. You know, to Rodrigo's point, we can bring them on board. We can start spending some modest amount of funds that, you know, we could generate through the puts in the current budget, but modest amounts to keep things going. But for us to launch the projects, we need to have some solid numbers, okay? Mm-hmm. And we have to have the solid numbers, and we have to have a sense of having the funds. As soon as we've got a very good sense that we've got a good pot of gold available, then absolutely, we can expedite the process, but we do have to give them a couple of weeks' time to be able to put their proposals together.
Okay. I just don't want to run the risk of what happened last year where we couldn't find a lot of vendors to do the work, and we were paying, you know, mm-hmm. extra money for OT, for people to work longer hours to get things done.
I think the big challenge that we have this year is that companies will have shut down. Instead of them being too busy and a short timeline, we may have companies, you know, going out of business that could participate from a trades perspective.
Okay.
Hi, this is Tiffany. Can I jump in here as well? I'm sorry. One of the benefits to having a construction manager on board also is that they are very tuned in to the trades, and they can quickly get manpower as needed. And they have resources, extensive resources. So we wouldn't be responsible for finding the manpower.
I completely get that. But last year, I feel like the construction manager we had issues with getting resources. Maybe it was the last minute. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And it depends. Yeah, it depends on, I don't know the exact scenario, but mm-hmm. That is certainly a challenge that we're up against. No matter what, especially in the summer with a lot of schoolwork happening at the same time.
And George, maybe we'll take this offline.
Of course, yeah.
Have you join us at one of the committee meetings, and I extend the invitation to others. George will get the invitation, and he can disseminate it to you, Rodrigo, and others that might be interested in sitting in on this, on this aparte conversation about what we've learned from the past and how we can improve it in the future.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you all. Okay. I agree with George. I think we give you the latitude to select those, but we could have the option where you could at least come back to maybe some of the executive officers on the board to say, hey, here's our final two or three. This is what we're leaning towards. Not that you may actually need approval, but just to run it past some of the executive officers as a final check before we hire. I don't think we need another board meeting to approve.
Okay, we will do that then.
Okay. Anybody have a motion to hire a construction manager?
I'll make the motion to allow Ricardo and his committee to put the RFP out and make a selection on construction manager for the upcoming projects. Is that good?
Yep.
I would just slightly amend it to make a recommendation as to their best choice. And with that amendment, I'll second the motion.
It's amended. Any comments or conversation about that?
Yeah, this is Erin. I think the inclusion of kind of bringing back the best recommendation to at least a small group makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Okay, got it. All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Great, thanks. The motion passes. So please move out and look for construction managers and let us know when you get to the final list of folks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ricardo. Next item up on the list is discussion regarding qualifications for job. So this is related to conversations that the board has been having over the last few months in an executive session regarding personnel actions for individuals. So we can't really talk in detail about any of those items that were discussed regarding individuals' qualifications, but this relates to the contracts for both heads of schools. And I'm gonna read a statement after we go through the motions to discuss what was discussed in the executive sessions, and we had actions on it by the board. So at this point, I'll turn it over to one of the board members to move forward with recommendations based on discussions in the executive sessions.
This is Elise. I make the motion to approve personnel actions discussed in executive session regarding non-renewal of contracts for the co-heads of school.
Any second?
This is Erin. I'll second.
Okay. Do we have any discussion on those? Okay. We'll call for a vote. All those in favor of non-renewal of contracts for both co-heads of school? All those in favor of non-renewal, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. The motion passes unanimously. So we will not be renewing the contracts for both heads of school. Is there another motion on the table?
I further move to establish a formal search committee to support the board's efforts in retaining the new head of school and authorize board president to hire a search firm.
I'll second that. George, second it.
Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstaining? Well, the motion carries unanimously. Okay. So I think that's it for the actions. I did want to read something to the folks online that we'll be sending out as well this evening to the community. But it's the board's fundamental responsibility to position Odyssey Charter School for long-term success today, tomorrow, and into the future. Crucially, it is paramount in ensuring that Odyssey has leadership in place to guide the school and its community through the coming chapters of growth while delivering strong academic performance, appropriately providing support services, fostering an inclusive community, attracting diverse faculty candidates, and creating a campus with facilities that supports the enrichment of all students. Following discussions in recent executive sessions, the board has determined that Odyssey's next chapter necessitates new leadership at the head of school level. To that end, in tonight's public session, the board just voted unanimously not to renew the contracts of Mrs. Parks as co-head of school. As the board further considers the appropriate leadership and reporting structure of the operations function, the board also unanimously voted not to renew the contract for Mr. Stoike, campus operations officer and co-head of school. While the board's vote took place in public, this is a personnel matter, and the board will not comment publicly on factors discussed during executive sessions. While these board decisions may be questioned by some within our community, they were difficult and are impactful for the individuals involved, as well as our school and the community we serve. Please be respectful of any discourse about them. Change is never easy. The board did not arrive at these decisions lightly, but in order to fulfill our mandate and our duty to best position Odyssey for ongoing success, we have unanimously determined that these steps are necessary and appropriate. The board has communicated its decisions to Ms. Parks and Mr. Stoikic earlier today and discussed how to best cooperatively move forward in the interests of Odyssey, our students, and our community. With respect to the co-head of school responsible for academic leadership, the board has voted to form a search committee to engage an outside search firm to help identify our next academic leader who can capitalize on Odyssey's success to date and guide our school forward to the next level of academic achievement. To ensure inclusion of stakeholders representing our diverse community, the board intends for the committee composition to include parents, teachers, including our school's union leadership, administration, board members, and will likely invite external expertise. We sincerely thank Ms. Parks for her many years of service and dedication to Odyssey. We wish her well in future endeavors and will support her in this transition. We very much appreciate Mrs. Parks' partnership and continued focus on Odyssey students, teachers, and community. Our Odyssey community has consistently demonstrated tremendous dedication to our children, especially through innovating in this challenging remote learning environment. The board firmly believes that it is critical to continue to support each other. The intent is to select and onboard our next head of school prior to the beginning of the 2021 school year. The board will immediately begin work on our leadership team to determine the best candidate to serve as an interim head of school. In order to ensure a smooth transition and continued administrative guidance and support and transition, the transition team will include the deans, board members, and promptly address our teachers and students' administrative needs. With respect to co-head of school and campus operations officer, Mr. Stoikic will continue in his role as head of operations through the end of his current contract term on July 1st, and on an ongoing basis while the board resolves its head of school search and determines the leadership structure that will best support the school's operational campus and ongoing developmental needs. We thank Mr. Stoikic for his contributions and dedication to Odyssey and appreciate his ongoing support to ensure operational continuity and leadership for our school and our campus. We will continue to openly communicate with our community as this process moves forward. Please not hesitate to reach out to us with suggestions, concerns, and interest in partnering in this process as we move forward collectively. And thank you all for your continued support. So we'll be sending out an email along those lines tonight to the parents and to the community, informing them of the board's decisions. Like we said, if there's any comments or thoughts that anybody has, please email them to us and the board members. Thank you. The next item up on the agenda is discussion on committees. Erin, are you going to take the lead on that?
Yeah, I think we're pending that to next week, okay. Right?
That's fine.
Yeah.
Pause on that. This is. Did you want to just comment on what that is?
Sure. So we received some great responses. So thank you to everyone for responding and emailing our inbox related to either general interest in participating in committees or specific interest. Obviously, with the situation, we've had some trouble with meeting in person, but next week we will kind of formalize the creation of some committees and we'll look to move those initiatives forward. So more to come there, but thank you very much.
Thank you, Erin. Last item up on the agenda is good of the school. Is there anything that anybody has for the good of the school? All right, thank you. We will not be going into executive session this evening. So this concludes the board meeting for this evening. I want to thank everybody for coming in online. Like you said, we're here and available to discuss and talk to anybody about any questions or thoughts that they might have regarding board action. So thank you all for participating, and we appreciate your support for the board and for the school and for the staff and for the administration, for the entire community as we work through this process. So thank you all very much. We have a motion to adjourn.
Maria, I so move.
George will second it.
Moving, George seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Meeting adjourned, 7:33. Thank you all.